the business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging out with us this afternoon. If you were with us last week, we had a conversation about, well, the lack of highly skilled automobile technicians. And oftentimes these vehicles that we now drive are so tech heavy. And some auto mechanics are now reporting that they're making six figures. We talked about BMW, also Fiat Chrysler's Performance Institute. They are all looking for highly qualified technicians in the auto industry. And with us in studio is the chair of the Automotive Technology Program, also an instructor. His name is Jerry Burns. He is from the Des Moines Area Community College. Jerry, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Mike.
So tell us a little bit. Are we telling tales here? Is there an abundance of automobile technicians out there and nobody's looking?
No, that wouldn't be true at all. There's quite a few local dealers, employers are constantly calling, always asking for our graduates, looking to hire them while they're still in the program, wanting to work, be flexible with their schedule because, like you said, there is a high demand for technicians to repair the vehicles.
What is different today about today's automobile technician that, say, was different maybe 10, 12 years ago?
Well, for somebody new that's starting out into the field or into the program, one of the big differences would be is the lack of mechanical skill and ability coming into the program. If you look at it, the vehicle complexity has gotten so much harder than it was even just 10 or 15
Sure.
years ago. And, you don't see people working in the driveway or in the garage on their
vehicle.
Yeah,
the hood's not up on Memorial Day, is
they're,
it?
They're not. You pop the hood on a lot of vehicles anymore, and you see a lot of plastic covers and, hybrid vehicles that are out there and things like that. So people just aren't working on the vehicles the same as what they were. So they don't have some of that basic knowledge as far as changing oil, rotating tires,
really?
Things like that. So one of those things for a new student coming into the program is maybe a little bit lower on what they've actually done up to this point in time.
But do they compensate that for their ability to understand technology?
They really do. One of the things is with vehicles anymore is there's a lot of electronic usage. So whether it's electronic service information to repair the vehicles, whether it's scan tools to be able to diagnose the vehicles, students really seem to be able to pick up on that stuff quick. So even though we spend a little bit more time on some of the basic fundamentals of, which way to turn a bolt and things like that, sometimes we don't have to spend as much time on teaching them about service information and scan tool usage because they really do make those things very user-friendly, kind of like their phones and computers
right.
that they're used to using already.
Righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Most of the time, anyway.
Yep.
Most of the time. We're talking with Jerry Burns, ladies and gentlemen. He is the chair of the Automobile, the Vehicle Technical School at DMAC, and he's also an instructor there. The story that we had last week talked about many of these companies, Fiat Chrysler, BMW, actually making contact with the schools out there, trying to get folks into their dealerships in advance of even graduation. Are you having that kind of activity? Are people calling you too?
Absolutely. I probably get at least five phone calls, if not more, a week from local dealers, businesses that are constantly looking to be able, five might be on the low number,
wow.
but constantly getting those phone calls, like I had mentioned earlier, they're wanting to hire them still while they're part-time in school because, in all honesty, they want to hire them full-time once they end up graduating to kind of fill those voids that they currently have in the shops.
I thought one of the more interesting parts of that story that we didn't exactly covered just a moment ago, but here's the rest of the story. It's BMW North America. They've begun this recruiting program out there, but what's odd about this, corporate BMW is out there trying to find auto technicians for privately owned dealerships here in the United States. So it's gotten that deep.
Yes, that's true. But, you know, I guess one way to look at it is the local dealers, like you mentioned, they've got to be able to service the vehicles to continue to sell them. So obviously BMW on a corporate or a national level has got to be able to help support their local privately owned dealerships and stuff like that to be able to service the vehicles after the sale.
Now, going from I know nothing about putting on brake pads to graduating from DMAC with a degree in auto technician abilities, how long does that take generally? And are you in the ballpark? Do you have any idea what these guys or girls are going to make when they get out of school?
Well, so we have four different automotive programs that are up there. Yeah, most people didn't know that. We've got probably our largest or most popular common program is our auto mechanics technology program. They will spend 2 years or about five terms there with us, and that is intended to run through the summer. So if somebody does take the summer off, it does extend that out a little bit beyond the 2 years. Then we actually have three manufacturer-based programs. Those would be internship-based programs where a student is actually working at a local dealership. They're going to alternate between time spent at the dealership and then time spent at school on paid internships. And we have that affiliation with GM for the GM ASET program, Ford for the Ford ASSET program, and then Chrysler for the Chrysler CAP program. And so we have those. Once again, those are set up in about a five-term program. And since those are kind of more of a blocked scheduled classes, students do get through that in a two-year time frame.
All right. So these students have the ability to go out there and work and learn the trade from a branded company such as Ford or Chrysler or GM, and then perhaps go back to that dealership or another dealership?
Absolutely. That's really the way the program is intended to work and operate is that, you know, really it's been a two-year internship. So, you know, students have roughly worked over 1,000 hours during that time frame at a dealership. And so it's kind of been a test run not only for the students but also for the dealer. And I'll be honest with you, I've been doing this for 13 years, and I can only think of one, maybe two times that a dealer hasn't offered somebody full-time employment at the end of the program because, in all honesty, they've been working for them for, you know, half a year basically if you look at 1,000 hours worth of work.
I know that it would change compared to what dealership or where, but is there a ballpark estimate that, you know, people come to you and say, hey, Jerry, I'd like to be an automotive technician. About how much money can I expect to make year two or three?
Yeah, and people ask that all the time when you're trying to decide on a career coming in. Sometimes it's not just the student, but it's a parent, you know, trying to just determine whether or not this would be a good fit. Really, you know, students are probably going to be making somewhere around that $38,000 to $40,000 shortly after graduation. So when I say that, you know, 6 months to 9 months down the road. But then really in the automotive industry, you've got the ability, your pay is very dependent upon what type of technician you are. So if you're that technician that can fix the vehicle right the first time and you're somebody that can get it done in the allotted time, that's you know, we have what we call standard repair times on vehicles. So if you can get it done in the standard repair time, you can turn billable hours, you can fix the vehicle right the first time, yeah, you can see people that are near that six-figure number that you're talking about.
So in other words, it is all up to the abilities of that technician if they are able to do that in the allotted time and get it right.
And you know, with that being said, there's a lot of things to make that technician able to do that.
Yeah.
It's all part of a team. You've got to have a parts department that can get the technician the parts. You've got to have service advisors that can write the tickets and explain the stuff to the customer. And you've got to have an efficient shop that can get a vehicle in for the technician to be able to work on. So, it is part of it is up to the technician, but the technician also has to be part of a team.
You know, one of the things that when I was growing up, and many of us were, if you took shop class or if you took auto mechanics in school, people went, what the heck are you doing? You know, but anymore, those jobs are in such demand and that it can be a very comfortable living for people if they want to do that and not have the expense of a four-year college degree.
That's absolutely correct. Like I said, you know, we get students through in a two-year time frame and they're ready to enter the workforce and earn a wage in which they can support a family and start a life and things like that. And once again, you know, even when the economy tanked years ago, people were still driving their cars. People still needed to have their vehicles fixed. So it's like, you know, one thing is you look up and down the road, cars are still running up and down the road. They're going to require maintenance and they're going to require repairs.
Jerry Burns, ladies and gentlemen, he's the program chair of the Automobile and Automotive Technician School at DMAC in Ankeny, correct?
Correct.
What about men, women breakout? You know, at one time this was a guy's thing. You know, we're going to go turn wrenches and get greasy. Are you seeing some women join the field?
We do. We, you know, I would still say it's a fairly low percentage. You know, at any point in time, you know, I would say we probably have 4 to 5 females that are in the program. So 4 to 5 out of maybe 100 males. Ooh. So you know, it's only a 4 to 5% number. So yeah, it's still a relatively low number, but I will say it's higher than what it was probably even 10 years ago.
I would imagine, this is just me guessing, okay? But I would imagine that a very highly qualified and trained female could do very, very well.
Oh, absolutely. I've had a lot of female students in my classes through the years, and most of the time they are very detail-oriented. You know, they don't miss some of the small things.
Yeah, the little things that could get everybody in trouble.
Yes.
Right? Jerry Burns, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about automotive technicians. What about diesel? Do you guys do diesel up there too?
We do. We've got a diesel technology program, very successful diesel technology program. They've actually got through there, you could do diesel on the heavy truck side or you could do diesel on the ag construction side. And so they really kind of get that flexibility for a student to come in, get exposed to diesel, and then which direction do they want to go? Do they want to go more on the ag and heavy equipment side or more on the trucking side? They have very good placement numbers. So they have a lot of good local strong support from their dealers.
One of the things that has always confounded me, and I don't work in this space. I was fortunate enough, thank God, to have a father who understood cars and he was an engineer and all that stuff. And, you know, I used to be able to change, do everything on the car. Well, not really everything, but I was able to do most of the things. I can't any longer because it's so electronically unenabled for me. But tools, is that still a deal with automotive technicians that they have to take their own tools with them?
That, for the most part, I would say yes, almost always. There are very few shops, very few dealerships that actually provide tools for their technicians. Right. So that's probably more of the norm, is that you have your own tools and you would take those tools. If you left the shop, you would transport those tools from one shop to the other shop.
And that can be a relatively costly adventure, can't it?
It can be. People can spend a tremendous amount of money on tools in a toolbox. It can be a large investment.
Now, when we're talking about tools, are we just talking wrenches and hammers and stuff, or are we talking about diagnostic stuff?
Diagnostic equipment, like I said, toolboxes to be able to house them. You know, a lot of technicians are going to try to have the majority of their own specialty tools. Now, when I say their own specialty tools, with the exception of specialty tools for overhaul and transmissions, differentials, but right. Your average diagnostic tools, a technician's much more going to prefer to go to his or her toolbox, get it out of their toolbox, as opposed to a shared common place for the shop, because you can probably imagine when there's shared common places in a shop,
things get lost.
Or not always taken care of, yes.
Exactly. One other question before we get out of here. Let me ask about cost to do this. You know, Iowa ranks in one of the top 10 states in the nation with a significant amount of student debt going on. Lots of folks have got thousands of dollars in student debts here in Iowa. What about the cost of going through a DMAC program?
Well, in all honesty, DMAC is a very affordable, not just in automotive, but in any of their programs. But since we are talking about automotive here, our program is a 74, 75 credit program class. So basically, tuition is somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 by the time $150 a credit hour. Ooh. So pretty quick, you got about $12,000, $12,000 to $13,000 over a 2-year time frame. With books and tuition out the door, it's about $15,000 for somebody to go through in a 2-year time frame. But like you said, they've got an employable job, or they should be employable to enter the workforce at the end of that 2-year time frame. And like I said, that does include a entry-level tool set that they would purchase on their own, as well as books to get them through the program. So it is very affordable. You look at a lot of the private institutions that maybe will have just a 1-year that's mm-hmm. not an Associates of Applied Science degree like what ours is, and they'll be well over $30,000 for a year.
Wow.
Some of them can be in excess of $50,000 a year. Like I said, and it's not an AAS degree program. There isn't a job lined up after the fact, and there are no tools that are included with that. So when you really look at it, although $15,000 might seem like a lot, being that you're getting a 2-year degree, that's an actual degree, an associate's degree, and you've got a job at the end,
It's kind of worth it.
Pretty good investment.
It does make it for a good investment. Thank you for doing this, Jerry. Jerry Burns, ladies and gentlemen, from DMAC, the Des Moines Area Community College, talking about the business of auto and truck repair and what technicians out there can expect through DMAC. Thanks again for doing this. We really appreciate it. You were able to put icing on the cake from our story from last week.
Well, thanks, Mike.
All right. All right, we've got to clear aside. Why? Because we're going to check out what happened today on Wall Street. One word, fluctuation, was the key word today. We'll tell you what the markets did when we come back. This is Inside on Business, the NewsHour.